Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. As you know, this is podcast number 867B, and we have a great guest for you as usual, but this one's really special to me because she wrote about this both from an expert's point of view and a personal point of view. The Unspeakable Loss, released about last week. It talks about support, guidance, and wisdom from others who've been there. How do you live after a child dies? Nisha Zenoff is the author. She lives in the Bay Area and has had an experience of her own, but is an expert and was treating people with this type of problem beforehand. So it's kind of unnatural for a young life to end. It violates what we call the natural cycle of the old stepping aside, making way for the young as they mature. And we'll get into why I think that's going to be more common as we go on and why this is so important. Dr. Zenoff, thank you very much for writing the book, The Unspeakable Loss, and for being on the show. Thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me, and we'll get into the fact that this happened to you, but you were already involved in this area before this event with Victor happened. Is that right?
That's correct. I had been a psychotherapist and a grief counselor and a dance movement therapist for many years before Victor died.
And so it almost seems, I don't even know how to say it. It seems like it was unreal then, or unrealistic, or even very weird that this happened to Victor and you. And Victor was, as I understand it, was involved in an accident at while climbing. And I don't know if that he was climbing at Yosemite or was just at Yosemite in 1980. How did it occur?
Well, Victor was not climbing the mountains like Half Dome, but he was hiking on a trail in Yosemite. He was 17, a week before he was 18, and he was running downhill, and he tripped and he fell 700 feet over the granite to his death.
700 feet. Now, let me tell you another story, just so I don't have much experience with this, but when I was chair of a Department of Anesthesia, Critical Care, and Pain Management, one of my faculty members was driving on a icy slope in Colorado, driving on a icy road in Colorado, and the car she was driving spun off, and her son, I think it was actually her daughter, was in the middle of the SUV in the middle of the row, unbuckled, was thrown out of the cab and died, and she had tremendous guilt over that. Was there guilt in this situation, and how did you handle the rest of the family, I guess? And part of the reason I'm asking in this way is this book, I should tell, the book you wrote, The Unspeakable Loss, is written in a very powerful way where you essentially answer questions for people. And so we'll get to why you did it in that format, but it's a really powerful format and accessible to help people.
Well, I decided to write it in the question and answer format because bereaved families were asking me questions like, does it get easier? Do I have to live with this pain for the rest of my life? What happens if I want to die to be with my child? And first of all, let me say how sorry I am to hear about your friend or your colleague and the death of their child. And yes, guilt is often part of grief. And I would like to really emphasize that grief is not a disease. So I don't think of it as a problem or treating it. I don't think it's something that we cure or we are recovered from. Grief is a normal, healthy response to the loss of a loved one. And the reason I wrote the book in the format, the question and answer, is when people are grieving, they want to get right down to the answers to some of their questions, and many questions cannot be answered.
So you expose that there. Now, we think of grief in the adult. In other words, I lose a friend or a very close friend, a close buddy, and it takes 2 years or so to get over that, going through all the stages of grief. And that's a very common time pattern for an adult. What's the time pattern if you lose a child?
Well, there is no time pattern for the grief after the death of a child and many other types of grief. There's no finish line, and particularly parental grief can last the entire lifetime of the parents, grandparents, siblings. There is no finish line for grief. And I think that was a big mistake in many decades ago when people thought there were very specific stages that one goes through. But grief has proven to be not linear. It goes forward, it goes backwards. It's more like an oscillation rather than concrete linear stages.
Now, you do this in a question and answer phrase, but one of the things in one of the powerful areas that you write about, and the one I turn to first because of something my wife had told me when I was working with the colleague whose daughter died, was that there's a huge chance of family breakup after the death of a child, especially a younger child. Tell us about that or describe that to us.
Okay. So what I found is that if there's a good foundation in the family, and particularly if we're talking about partners or spouses or husband and wife, wife and husband, if there's a good solid foundation when a child dies, they can get through this trauma and even get closer, even though they will find that their grief is different and feel like they're on a roller coaster sometimes and grieve differently. If there are holes in the foundation, a trauma such as the death of a child can create larger holes. There's a retired professor at University of Washington, Dr. Shirley Murphy. She conducted a study that tracked 271 bereaved couples over 25 years, and she found that the often repeated assertion that losing a child destroys a relationship is simply not true. And my own research, I found that as well. There was a rumor going around that 75% of bereaved couples got divorced, and that was an incorrect study, and it was an incorrect myth that was going around. What we're finding is that the statistic on divorce is unclear. It's very hard to measure. And most couples, the divorce ratio is about the same as it is in our national average.
Which is about 50%.
Exactly, 50%.
And so this doesn't, what I had heard was that this accelerated those divorces and that, meaning if there were holes in it, that this pushed them to a shorter time frame or occurring in a faster time frame.
Well, that is the common thinking about the death of a child. And very often, bereaved parents will hear that even before there are any issues in their relationship. Some of their friends will say, well, we've heard that divorce is common among bereaved parents. And yes, it is difficult to grieve together, especially when you're out of sync with each other. But all the fundamental issues of learning to be open and trusting with each other, learning to respect each other's differences, all those really are important in getting through the death of a child together as a couple afterwards.
Now, you talk, I think, powerfully about the siblings of a child who died. But before I ask Dr. Zenhof about this and before we get her answer, let's check with Radio MD's Bill Klaproth and find out about this episode's sponsors. Bill?
More of the You, the Owner's Manual podcast with Dr. Mike Roizen coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Organifi. Organifi is an organic superfood supplement line that makes quality, trusted nutrition convenient and accessible. We all know green juice is good for us, but have any of you tried juicing? Not only does it cost a fortune, especially if you're shopping organic, but it is also very time-consuming. And that's why I opt for Organifi Green Juice, an organic superfood green juice powder that you just add to water and get your greens on the go. It helps me sustain energy all throughout the day. It's quick and easy nutrition on the go. And it's not just any green juice. Remember, it's organic, and I want you to try it out, all right? Go to Organifi.com, and we're going to save you 20% off by using the code YOU, that's Y-O-U, at checkout. Once again, try out Organifi Green Juice for 20% off using code YOU, Y-O-U, at checkout at Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. Now back to Dr. Michael Roizen and the You, the Owner's Manual podcast.
We're back with Dr. Zenhof. And Dr. Zenhof, you talk so powerfully about, I guess, the sibling responsibilities and the parents. I don't know whether it would be called responsibility or ability to help them through this. Talk a little bit about that to us.
Certainly. The death of a child for the entire family is a huge trauma. It creates something no one has ever experienced before. It's like being in a foreign country in a foreign language, and everyone is looking for guidelines. For siblings especially, they are so often invisible. And people will say to the sibling, how are your parents? And I hope your parents are doing well. Or I guess now this means you have to take care of your parents. And sometimes siblings will hide the fact that they're grieving until their parents have shown that they can be stable and be reliable as parents again. Siblings don't like to see their parents in pain. And especially teenagers, they grieve differently than we adults do or younger children. And teenagers will be grieving while they're listening to their music or hanging out with their friends. They'll be talking to their friends, but not talking at home about the loss of their brother or sister because they don't want to make their parents any sadder than their parents already are.
Dr. Zenhof, the child or the sibling probably feels some responsibility, and I think you described that well in the book on, and how do you help the is what's the role of the therapist versus the parent in helping the child get through, the sibling get through the death of his or her sibling?
Well, first of all, I'm so glad that you mentioned the therapist, because after a child dies, as we just said a few minutes ago, it changes everything in that family forever. Everyone has to start building up the family again. And going to a grief therapist, a psychotherapist who's trained in grief, or a support group like the Compassionate Friends, is a non-denominational international organization, or Bereaved Parents USA. These are both organizations that offer support after the death of a child. And working with a therapist, a grief therapist, can be extremely valuable in helping the family to get back to a sense of stability, normalcy, healing. And you asked what was the role of the parent versus the therapist. Well, the parents are in the midst of their own pain. And as you know, grief affects us mentally, physically, spiritually on every level. And sometimes we feel like we're going crazy with grief. I remember a bereaved mother looked at a stop sign and didn't know if the red meant stop or go. So it affects us mentally as well as having broken hearts at the time. So reaching out to a good therapist who's trained in grief can be life-saving for the family. And the same thing about reaching out to support groups where there are other bereaved families who have lived through this trauma and can let the newly bereaved people know that they can survive, that others have survived, and they can too, one step at a time.
And so the one step at a time. So if you were in the ideal world, would everyone go to a therapist or get help from a therapist or a group that has gone through this first? And then what percent of people actually do get that advantage?
I don't know what percent go to support groups, but in my experience, as grief is not the same for everyone. It's a very individual experience, even though they're universal guidelines and experiences that we all share. So I would definitely suggest that people reach out to support groups, as I mentioned, but a support group isn't for everyone. Some people prefer to be in solitude or go walk on to the mountains or the ocean or work individually with a grief therapist. So again, there's not one size fits all with grief. It's very important to consider the individual's needs, their relationship with the person who died, their family dynamics, and what's important to them. Some people go to a support group and continue going for years because they feel that's where they learn how to walk this walk and be on this journey with others who have gone on the similar path. And other people prefer to do it in the relationship with a therapist in the privacy of an office. So it's very individual.
And let's go to some other topics. What happens when one person is much more, one of the parents is much more, I guess, affected, close to that child? How do the two, is there a mutual support between them? How do they function?
Well, each relationship is very individual. A mother's relationship with her child is different than the father's relationship, different than the sibling's relationship. And they will grieve depending on that relationship. And some people ask, do men and women grieve differently? And because our culture supports women to show their emotions more openly, like crying, sometimes you'll notice that mothers cry and grieve outwardly longer than the father. And the father will grieve, but he'll grieve differently by perhaps getting very involved in his work or working on a project or setting up a foundation for the deceased child. So, again, it's a very individual walk. And having respect for the differences and compassion for yourself in this, because you're not knowing what's coming next. It's like walking out into the unknown with very little guidance. And this is why when my son died, even though I was already a therapist and a grief counselor, I didn't know if I could live. Most of what I had learned did not help my devastation and pain. And
now,
let me
go a little different tack for the last minute
please.
Or so. We're going to be living longer. And children, meaning if you say that the average age in America by 2030, the average time of death would be someplace between 110 and 130, which is the best guess of the aging researchers, a number of these parents are going to lose adult children rather than what you would call teenage or younger children. Do you have experience in that? How is that going to, in other words, we always expect the oldest to die, but this won't occur anymore in what we expect to be the aging revolution that occurs over the next 15 to 20 years.
You are so right. That's already happening. And we are living longer, and therefore more older, elderly parents and siblings are experiencing the death of a, I say child, because as long as they have a mother and father alive, they're somebody's child, even though we're not really talking about children. We're talking about people, men and women, in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s, dying before their parents. And this is a very particular, painfully difficult, enduring grief. Because as we age, we're hoping that our children will be around for our sake as well. And when it reverses nature, it's a particularly painful, difficult, enduring grief.
And is that, and so this is, whether it's an adult child or a teenage or infant child, the process is the same? Is that what I'm hearing?
The grief is grief. And whether the child is a child, a teenager, and an adult, and the experience of grief continues no matter what age the adult or younger child has died. But the individual circumstances, for instance, if an older parent is depending on that 50-year-old or that 60-year-old to help take care of them because they have dementia, that changes the dynamic.
We've been talking with Nisha, N-I-S-H-A, Zenhoff, Z-E-N-O-F-F, who's a PhD, a grief therapist, who wrote a very, what I would call, informative, powerful, important book called The Unspeakable Loss, Support, Guidance, and Wisdom from Others Who Have Been There. It's published by Lifelong Books. It's been available about a week now. It is really a very, very interesting book, and I would suggest, since we're going to be changing the dynamics of families, or since science and medicine and society will be changing, that you actually get this and start reading about it and thinking about adult children and the dynamics of those families. In the meantime, thanks for listening. You can always download a new interview, a new latest news of the week at You, the Owner's Manual. Every Tuesday at 7 a.m., there's a new one released, iHeart or Radio MD, as you got this one. Please do download. Please do rate us and talk to your friends about us. Thanks very much. And thank you, Dr. Zenhoff and Randall, for you for engineering. We'll be back next week with a new, if you will, download 868A and 868B next week as we go to our, I guess we're in our 17th year already of these podcasts. Thanks very much. We'll be right back.